The 20th Century Fox logo is shown. British Sky Broadcasting presents All the Right Moves, starring Tom Cruise as Stefan, Craig T. Nelson as Coach Nickerson, Leah Thompson as Lisa, Charles Chioffi as Pop, and Gary Graham as Greg. The music's by David Campbell, it's written by Michael Caine, produced by Stephen Deutsch, and directed by Michael Chapman. Workmen in hard hats have finished their shift at a large steelworks. They're trudging along a muddy road running through the middle of the industrial complex. Two guys are amongst the line of men heading up a staircase at the perimeter of the plant. One is an older man in his 50s with curly, greying hair and a careworn face. The other is a younger man in his 30s who wears a dark denim jacket and a black and yellow woolly hat. The older man has his hard hat under his arm and they're both carrying little metal lunchboxes. They traipse under an archway formed from girders and pipes with a sign under it saying American Pipe and Steel. In a car park area in front of the works, the two men get into a gold-coloured coupe-style car. Then there's a technical drawing of a bearing cap pinned to a bedroom wall. A sports trophy casts a shadow onto it. There's an alarm clock on a bedside table, and a dark-haired young man is asleep in bed. Lifts his head and switches off the alarm clock. He sits up, clutching his pillow. He puts the pillow back down on the bed and rubs his face. He pushes off his bedclothes as he stands up, dressed in a pair of boxer shorts. He moves over to a window, lifts up the blind, and resting one hand on the window frame, he looks out thoughtfully at the brown and grey industrial town ahead of him. A couple of trucks are making their way along the side of a railway track, next to which there's an embankment with rusty brown warehouse buildings along it. In his bedroom, the young man is doing energetic press-ups on his carpet in front of a desk and cluttered shelves. There's a framed photo of the young man in a blue suit holding hands with a smiling brown-haired young woman in a white prom dress. Outside, it's a murky, wet day. The gold-coloured car heads along a road running alongside the vast grey steelworks. The young man is now dressed and sitting at the table eating a bowl of cereal and reading study notes. He's wearing a red checked lumberjack-style shirt. He gathers up the bundle of papers and tucks them into a file. The gold-coloured car stops outside a traditional-looking brick and wood-fronted house set on a slope with similar houses further down the street. The men from the steelworks get out and move towards the house, just as the young man, clutching his school books, hurries out of it. The young man, Stefan, makes his way down the hill wearing jeans and a black college football jacket with cream sleeves. He crosses a rusty steel bridge and pretends to kick a football as he continues on his way. Then he's walking through the town at the edge of a road which a grey car is heading down. Bosco, a large guy with a moustache and the same black and cream jacket on, is behind the wheel of the crowded car which pulls up beside him.
Hey, Steph, we're gonna be Walnut Heights?
No.
All right, get in!
Steph clambers into the back of the car and sits next to a large curly-haired girl. The car heads off. Rain is dripping down the window as the car passes a boarded-up building. The car continues on its journey across town. The car comes round a corner and stops under a flyover, beside which is an old red brick school building. Steph heads along a school corridor. A tall African-American student in the black and cream football jacket is cuddling his girlfriend.
Stinger!
What's happening?
How about it? You take good care of Charlotte here?
You know it. She's my freak of the week.
Shadow, damn you.
Young people die, they donate stuff like the eyeballs. Well, I'm gonna donate my dick to Charlotte.
The girl from Steph's prom photo is standing chatting to a group of friends.
Here comes my nervous breakdown. I'll see you guys later. Take care.
She has long, wavy, light brown hair, and she's wearing jeans and a purple V-neck sweater over a blouse. She kisses Steph, then they wander along the corridor and stop.
What's your name crying?
Her and her boyfriend are breaking up.
But I know why. I mean, most guys aren't as understanding as I am.
I know that, Steph. What'd you do? Swim to school?
Yeah, my chauffeur was a little late.
The gingerhead guy high-fives Steph.
Hey, how about that?
You got my English?
Oh, yeah, your English. That's right. Yeah, I got your English right here. You want your English?
Yeah.
You want English? How's that? You want his English?
No?
I'm not sure about 2021.
How do you guys know all the football stuff about punts and kicks and quarterback hand-ups and not know how to conjugate a verb?
What's a verb, dear?
What's a hand-on, dear?
I don't know. What's a hand-on?
You know what a hand-on is. I thought you said it.
Jeff!
Steph kisses his girlfriend.
See you at lunch.
Yeah, you buy it, right?
Tracy, come on. Tracy, come on. Come on.
All right, brain pump.
They head down the stairs. Bosco, the big guy with a moustache, high-fives a line of black students as he strolls along the corridor.
Hey, brothers.
In a typing class, most of the students are sitting in front of their typewriters at their desks following the dictation exercises. At the back of the room, Steph's throwing bits of rolled-up paper at a girl in front of him. Next to him, a young, dark-haired guy with an Italian appearance looks even more uninterested than he does. The girl looks round at them and smiles.
Vinny.
Huh?
She keeps looking back here. Do it.
No way.
Come on.
No.
Come on.
No.
Gimme.
Okay.
With a furtive little grin, Vinny moves over to the empty desk behind Stefan and sits down. The male teacher's scribbling an exercise on the blackboard. Vinny positions himself so that the crotch of his trousers is pressed up against the edge of the desk. As Stefan sniggers in front of him, Vinny puts his hands behind his head. The girl looks round at them and smiles again. Vinny now has his eyes closed and his head back. He seems to be thinking hard about something, and the top of the desk rises as if by magic. Stefan glances at Vinny and bows his head, giggling. Vinny's frowning with his eyes shut, with the desk lid still open. Stefan throws more paper at the girl, who looks round again. Vinny is still enjoying his daydream. Stefan is still laughing, and the teacher is wandering slowly along the row of desks.
Fudge! Fudge! Vinny!
But Vinny's eyes remain closed. The teacher's getting nearer and nearer. Stefan looks round at his friend, then punches Vinny's desk lid shut. Everyone stops and looks round. The teacher says...
You got something to share with us, Mr. Salvucci?
Get out of the room!
Yeah, I think you'd better.
Hunched over, Vinny staggers quickly from the room, gripping the crotch of his trousers. The teacher looks cross and turns back towards the class. Stefan looks up briefly. He's trying to contain his laughter. The teacher spins round at him and appears unimpressed. Later, Stefan and Vinny hurry down some steps.
Don't tell me that hurt.
Hell yes, it hurt, asswipe. It's my talent. You ruined my chances for a scholarship.
And have you heard from any recruiters yet?
Steph, who's kidding who? You know the reason why I'm playing. Since Plazowitz is hurt.
Yeah, you still got a shot.
Right, for welfare.
Stefan's girlfriend creeps into a shadowy and empty auditorium. She takes a few steps inside and stops. Steph slowly rises up from one of the rows of seats behind her.
Steph?
He creeps up on her.
I got the lunch.
He grabs her.
You are my lunch.
They kiss, then sit down in the auditorium.
Scared the shit out of you, huh, Litsky?
No. Next time you go, I almost got busted.
I need to get busted, huh?
Mm-hmm. No one's gonna put you in report the week of the Mighty Walnut Heights game.
Yeah, Walnut Heights, huh? You know, there's going to be recruiters there from every college that I want to go to, Lise.
All to see Stefan Georgievich.
Yeah, well, it's no joke. In Walnut Heights, they have the best halfback in the whole state. I figure I knock him on his ass a couple times, I'll have my pick of colleges.
I'll pick one near home, huh?
He strokes her hair thoughtfully.
Yeah, I'd like to. This is my shot. This is my way out Friday night. And I gotta go to the best school with the best engineering program.
Lisa bows her head and looks sad.
Georgievich have been humping steel out of this town for years. You know, Grandpa, Pop, Greg. I mean, you know, it's about time one of us had something to say about the stuff after it's been made. It's gonna be me.
With a playful expression, Lisa mouths, "It's gonna be me," back to him.
You're making fun of me. You're laughing. Yes, you are.
They slide down in their seats.
There's someone in here. Is it you, Salvucci? If it is, you're in bad trouble.
Lisa sticks her hand over her mouth and tries to suppress her giggles. Then in the boys' changing room...
An invitation to the University of Southern Cal. No, no bullshit.
A full fucking ride, man!
We're getting out of here, buddy.
No. Oh, shit! Oh, God!
Excuse me, ladies. Brian Riley is going to SC, motherfuckers.
Oh, my. All I gotta do is maintain my fantastic 2.0 average and...
That is cheap.
The bone head is going to Hollywood.
Maybe you better take us with you, Riley.
That's right, man, we make you look good back in your ass.
All I know is I don't have to shovel any more goddamn snow.
Hey, Bri, you might not have to shovel any snow, but you will be shoveling earthquakes.
You don't understand, I'll be playing in the Rose Bowl. You guys watch me on TV.
You're going to Hollywood, you're going to have to learn to dress.
And dance.
That's right. You got to be cool, man.
One, two.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Come on.
One,
two. Shake it out, right?
Hey, Fox, show me how to do that. Okay.
An impromptu dance lesson begins. Two of the guys are dancing in just their shoulder pads and pants. Vinny's sitting behind them. He gets their attention and makes an obscene gesture with his fist. Steph standing nearby, swinging his hips.
Shit comes in handy, doesn't it? Hey, Mouse, wake up and check this out. Not bad for a white boy, eh?
You look horrible. No wonder why you keep getting beat on defense.
Oh, yeah, because we're in the letter, pal.
Rob, you get to Hollywood, you ain't never gonna be one of the male excited dancers. It's a good thing.
A tall blonde-haired man in his 40s watches in the doorway and clicks his fingers.
Ladies!
They all rush to their lockers.
5 minutes.
Stefan glances round at the coach and takes off his shirt. Then the coach is speaking to an older African-American man as he scribbles crosses and circles on a blackboard.
Look, I've been up all night with this thing. I want you to take a look at this.
If we play these guys straight up, I mean, they're going to blow us out, huh? But if we neutralize their running game and force them to pass, that way we can take away the edge they got on us. We'll put our linemen yard and a half off the ball. 4-point stance.
62 stack.
You got it. Submarine every play.
A goal line defense the entire game.
Yeah, they're never going to expect it. When Alexander comes up the line, all he's going to find is a pile of people.
What if he tries to break the route in?
Well, we got our linebackers and corners there to contain them. If they try to pass, we're too quick for them.
Nobody's ever tried it.
Yeah, I know, but if it works, we're geniuses. If it doesn't, what do we got to lose?
Our lives.
Right. So, let's make it work, Jess.
All right, I want you to attack the legs of the man in front of you. Maintain your area. You got it? Get your ass up here, tank us.
Oh!
Head down!
Tank.
Ready!
Get tank!
34! Blue!
On the sodden training field, the two guys of linemen barge into each other but slip and slide around in the mud.
All right, gentlemen, all right! All right. That was good, that was good!
Right,
right. Right.
Right.
That was Coach got us doing. Don't ask me, man. Just do it.
See who's over there watching us?
Not us. Nick is...
Riley, come here, man. Alexander, come on over here. Get over here!
Riley, this is Alexander. This is going to be your man. You're going to follow him the entire game. And it's your key, son. That's your key. He goes to take a crap. I want you to show him the way. Do you understand that?
Yes, coach.
Can you handle this?
Yes, coach.
Can you handle
it? Yes, coach.
I can't hear you.
Yes, coach.
All right. I trust you. Safeties. I want you playing right up here with the linebackers, okay? I want you reading these ends.
Yes, coach.
Now, if they block down, I want you shooting back there. I want you to stick somebody. George, they get your ass in here. Come on. What's your key in this formation?
I can't tell me I could go with the flow unless they're playing slots.
All right, now listen. They can't run against a 6-2 stack, okay? We're going to force them to pass.
All right! Who are we?
Everybody!
What are we?
Oh,
what are we?
Oh,
who are we going to be?
Keep them here all night till they get it right. You keep running it and running it. They get it right.
How are we going to
be? How are we going to be?
The team jostle each other, stomping around in the mud. Then they're again crouched over in opposing lines, practicing the scrimmage. Later, a Jeep-style car is parked at the edge of the training field, and a blonde woman in her 30s gets out and hugs the coach while the team trudges past them.
Hi, baby.
Well?
Yeah, well, it was great. I mean, those guys from Cal Poly, they stayed the whole time.
And?
Yeah, well, and we're going to go grab a few beers afterwards, maybe 8 or 9.
8 or 9? Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it is. I tell you, I got a good shot at defensive backfield coach, okay? It's just down to me and a guy from Aliquippa, you know who.
Yeah, he's good, but you're better.
We're going to get out of here, Suze.
Yeah.
Stefan and his dad are sitting in their living room. A dark-haired man in a brown suit addresses them.
You've got a boy you can be proud of, Mr. Georgievich. We'd like him to come to our school.
Georgievich?
I'm sorry.
To play football?
And to get an education.
Would you tell us about that, please?
We'll do everything possible to see that he gets his diploma. If he's having problems with his studies, we have tutoring to help him get his degree. Our people graduate, Mr. Georgievich. Steph, we'd like you to come and visit the campus. Take a look at the living conditions, the academic setting. Meet the coaches, some of the players. We got 2 alumni in the pros right now. One of them's all conference. Do you want to play pro ball?
Me? How about it, Pop? And now there's not much call for a 5'10 white cornerback in the NFL. I know I could do the job in college, though.
Yes, you can. You hit like a truck. What are you looking for, Steph?
I'm looking to trade football for an education and still be able to walk. I'm going to be an engineer.
You know, I've checked your grades. A B average is not going to get you an academic scholarship. You need football.
I know that.
Well, we offer a BS in engineering.
Yeah, well, you know, Mr. Smith, I like your school. It's got a pretty good football team. But to tell you quite honestly, I mean, there's other schools that I'd rather look at first.
Stefan's brother's listening in the doorway. Looking a little stumped, Mr. Smith puts down his cup and gets up.
Maybe you do belong at another school, Steph.
Mr. Smith, because my son is good at football, he has opportunities that otherwise would not be his. I'd like to thank you for coming to my house and offering them to him.
I know what you're thinking, Steph, what you're looking for. Maybe I don't blame you. But if things fall through, you've got a place with me whenever you want it. I just want you to know that.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Smith nods and makes his way to the door. Stefan glances at his father, and they see the visitor out. Stefan's brother sighs to himself and shakes his head.
I hope you know what it is you're doing.
That's Lisa. Pop, can I go?
Stefan!
Pop, don't worry, okay? I'm going to get a good scholarship to a good school.
They haven't exactly been beating down the door.
No, you just wait till they see me come on the night's game.
Stefan picks up his football jacket and leaves the house. His father turns and puts his hands on his hips with a look of concern. Nighttime, a pale green car is parked on top of a cliff overlooking the town. Inside, Steph and Lisa are lying across the front seat, making out. Steph's hand slides up inside Lisa's jumper. Lisa Lisa smiles and bites her lip as Steph kisses her neck. Then he undoes the zip on her jeans and pushes his hand down inside them. Lisa's eyes are closed and she rubs her forehead with the back of her hand. Steph continues kissing her neck. He places her hand upon his crotch. He carries on kissing her neck, but she's starting to resist him, twisting her head away.
Steph, stop. Steph.
She leans her head right back and gasps.
Steph. Steph.
She bites her lip and struggles to get Steph's hand out of her jeans. She sits up angrily. Steph turns and slumps down on the seat beside her, looking exhausted. Lisa does up her jeans.
Go home. Try not to be mad, Steph. Just look at me.
I'm looking at you. I'm not mad.
Listen, I'm sorry. I guess I shouldn't have let it go that far. See you tomorrow?
Yeah, we have history and lunch period, right?
Steph. Look, I'm scared. And you're going away.
Okay, I just don't understand it, please. I mean, it's not like I don't love you. We've been going out a long time. And Brian, those guys see me up here. Nothing's going on.
Brian.
I didn't mean that.
Brian.
Lisa, I didn't mean that.
I don't want it to be for Brian or anybody else. I want it to be special and not in a car.
Okay.
He tosses her coat at her.
I understand. Let's go home.
He puts his jacket on angrily. The car moves off along the cliff edge. Next day, the football team are out practicing on the training field.
No!
One of the backs tries to run wide with the ball, but is floored by a defender. Tracks the running back from the opposing team, and as the guy receives the ball, he pulls him over.
No. George, Miles, give me that ball.
George, what the hell are you doing here?
I told you 1,000 times, you hit the... Go for the ball, not the man. You go for the ball. This is a football, see? It's about that. That's a man. There's a man running over there. You do that in the game, son, we got a penalty. You understand?
I had the coverage.
What?
The play.
I didn't hear you.
I had the coverage, sir. I made the play.
No, you do it my way, or it's a highway, George Vick.
All right, hustle on in. All right, hustle up. Hustle up. Come on, come on,
come on. It's a good practice, gentlemen.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Today you're not ladies, you're gentlemen. We got any quitters here?
No, sir.
I didn't hear you.
No, sir.
You know what's going to happen? You quit on this football field, you're going to quit high school, you're going to quit your job, you're going to get married, you're going to quit your lady. You know what you're going to end up being? You're going to end up quitters and losers. None of you guys are quitters and losers. Are there any quitters here?
No, sir!
Didn't hear you.
No, sir!
Can't hear you.
No, sir!
All right, everybody, 5 laps. 5 laps!
He points at Steph.
You do 10.
He's so hard on Georgia Bishop.
He's good. He's got talent. You know what? He's using me, Jess. He's using me.
Relax. They're going to give you the job.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Christ, I hope so.
The football players in their helmets and shoulder pads jog around a muddy track at the edge of the training field. As the others start to filter off towards the exits, Steph continues running with a determined frown. A line of cheerleaders in yellow outfits are jumping up and down in front of a frenzied student crowd in a sports hall. One of the cheerleaders blows her hair off her face, looking relieved. Another cheerleader leads a bulldog past the footballers who are standing in a line along a sidewall in their yellow shirts. Lisa, in a black feathered hat, is playing the saxophone in the band. Then she throws up her arm and joins in the cheering. The cheerleaders jump up and down and lead the applause excitedly. The crowd all sit back down in their seats. Bosco now stands at a microphone in the centre of the hall, dressed in a smart grey three-piece suit.
This rally, this game is not just for the students. It's for the whole town. It's for the mothers, for the fathers and the steel workers.
Some men in the audience are standing and applauding.
And now here's the man who's going to bring us a victory and who's going to make Ampipe what it used to be, Coach Nickerson.
Nickerson's arms are folded. He's wearing a grey cardigan, dark trousers, shirt and tie.
Walnut Heights is undefeated. Walnut Heights is ranked third in the state. They have a swim team, a tennis team. They got a golf team for boys and girls. They don't have a football team like we've got. And they don't have a student body like we have.
Brian and Steph march towards each other along the line of players.
I gotta talk to you, man. I gotta talk to you.
The two young men move to a doorway at the edge of the hall.
Tracy's pregnant.
What?
Tracy's pregnant. I took her to the doctor in Pittsburgh.
We are going to beat Walnut Heights because we're Ampipe. And this Ampipe football team can't lose. They're going to win.
Well, how does she feel about an abortion?
You know Tracy now real good.
You dumb bastard.
Co-captain.
What are you going to do? You going to have the kid?
Austin Williams.
Huh?
A shadow.
Brian stares forwards blankly.
What am I supposed to do, Steph?
Our offensive captain, quarterback, team leader, Clarence Oliver, rifleman.
What you do is you talk to your recruiter at SC, okay? I mean, I heard about stuff like this. They have, like, married dorms, they can get you jobs, and they can work things out for
I'm
you.
I'm having man. A kid.
Look, we're getting out of here, Brian. Right?
I'm proud to introduce defensive captain and linebacker.
Right, Bri?
Brian O'Reilly!
Brian steps back into the sports hall with an awkward little glance back at Steph, who watches him in shock. With his hands stuffed in his pockets, Brian approaches the mic looking self-conscious.
This is the biggest game of our lives. We've worked real hard for it. We no longer want to win. We have to win. And we're gonna win. Not just for us, but for you too. Thanks a lot.
The spectators stand and wave their pom-poms excitedly as the marching band process out of the hall. The cheerleaders pick up their pom-poms and start to leave too. Some of the crowd are jubilantly throwing rice or confetti. Steph is still standing in the doorway to the sports hall, staring forwards thoughtfully as the confetti rains down in front of him like snow. Two yellow Ampipe school buses head along a main road through the countryside. Inside the front one are the football team. The atmosphere is reflective. No one's talking. Each young man is stony-faced, staring out of the window and thinking. Brian is sitting with rosary beads in his hand, muttering prayers to himself. The bus continues down a long, straight road. A town looms on the horizon. Nickerson's sitting next to one of the players, flicking through an exercise book crammed with scribbled tactics. A banner stretched out above the road says Walnut Heights loves the nights. The players continue staring out of the window as the bus enters the town, all except Vinny, who's asleep on the back seat. Brian turns to Steph and holds up his hand. Steph grips his hand and stares back at him with determination. Someone else is sitting playing with a football. The buses head along a raised roadway, beside which is a large modern school complex. The players stare at it, open-mouthed.
Jeez, look at her place.
They open their changing room door.
Now this is what a real locker room looks like.
Their kit bags are laid out in a line on the red carpet next to rows of grey lockers. An old signed football, which has State Champs 1960 written on it, is put on a side table. Each team member touches it as he files past. A grey-haired man in a polo shirt saying Ampipe staff is wrapping bandage around Steph's wrist. Steph watches him with an expression of concentration. Another player is having his forearm bandaged too. Another is sitting turning a ball over in his hands. Bare-chested Steph standing by his locker. He puts a piece of tape over the crucifix on the gold chain around his neck and appears pensive. Vinny turns to one of his teammates behind him.
Tank, you take my tape roll? Did you take my tape roll? Huh?
Get out there! Send it from the field!
Brian glares at Vinny, who's held back. Vinny stumbles back to his locker, and the tension dissipates. Somebody offers him his tape roll, and he tosses it into his locker with a forced smile. Later, Steph, in his yellow kit, is sitting on the floor at the edge of the weights room, staring up at the ceiling. He bashes the back of his head against the wall defiantly.
Let's go, fellas. That's everybody. Let me have it over here. Right here, let's have it.
Each now changed into their yellow football kit, the players congregate at one end of the locker room.
Settle down.
Wearing his yellow Ampipe jacket, Nickerson enters the room.
Gentlemen. All right, here's the situation. We haven't beaten Walnut Heights in the 5 years I've been coaching. There are 10,000 people out there who don't think they're going to do it tonight. But there's 37 people in this room who know we can. All right?
Yes, sir!
All right,
yes, sir!
That's you, and that's me. So why are we so sure? What do we know they don't know? See, I don't think they know about the human beings inside these uniforms. I don't think they know about the pain you're willing to endure. Do they, Tank?
No, sir, they don't.
They don't know how hard you're going to hit, do they, Georgievich?
No, sir, they don't.
And they don't know what you're going to do to Alexander, do they, Riley?
No, sir!
And they sure as hell don't know about the magic in Rifleman's arms, do they?
No, sir.
Well, in the next 48 minutes, they're going to find out who you are and what you're made out of. And you're going to make me proud. So you guys are going to go on in your lives, you're going to achieve some great successes, and I hope and pray you do. But no matter what the future's going to bring, there's seldom going to be a moment like tonight when you hold it all in your hands. When you can achieve something together they can never take away from you. Your friends, your family, your parents, your school, this town. A win tonight is going to give them something to be proud of, something they can believe in. Now, you know what they call us? You know why they only gave us 500 tickets to this game? We're the Dagos, we're the Polacks, we're the Niggers! All right. That's what you are. That's what I am. And that's what we are together, and that's how we're going to win this game. We're going to win it together. How are we going to do it?
Together!
How are we going to do it?
Together!
We're going to do it
together!
How are we going to do it?
Together!
We are going to win together. Come on now!
Okay.
He kneels down and they all huddle over him. Then they're running out onto the pitch.
Now taking the field, the Ampipe Bulldogs.
The opposing team run on in white kits with large red numbers on their jerseys.
And here come your knights!
The Ampipe players run past some cheerleaders kicking up their legs in a circle. The Bulldog mascot is led along the touchline. Ampipe supporters are waving pom-poms and the opposing fans are cheering behind a huge Walnut Heights High School banner. A Walnut Heights player catches the ball and is jumped on by Ampipe players. Steph's dad and brother are in the crowd.
Come on! Get tough! Right! Go! Woo!
Six deuce jack monster! Six deuce jack monster! Ready! Break!
Five fells, this is it!
Break!
Pull home! Pull home! Coming after your house, Molly!
Do it, man! Make me happy! Hey!
A Knights footballer is running with a ball and is brought down by two Ampipe players. Lisa looks delighted. Bosco's cheering the team on too. Walnut Heights are in possession, but there's no way through the Ampipe defence. In the crowd are talent scouts making notes.
Why can't we block those little churches?
They're cutting our knees out, Coach. We can't do nothing.
I don't want to hear that bullshit. Block them anyway. You understand? Now let's do it.
There's another snap, and Ampipe have the ball. It switches between players neatly, but Knights defend solidly. Another play, and this time the quarterback makes a long throw, but it's out of bounds, and the referee blows his whistle and waves his arms.
That's the end of the first quarter. No school!
The linemen take their positions for the scrimmage, and the play continues. A switch pass from the Knights, and their running back carves through the field.
Nothing to the clear! Touchdown! And the Knights take the lead!
The Knights cheerleaders wave their red and white pom-poms. The Ampipe coach turns away in disgust. Fireworks stream into the night sky. Then the scoreboard is shown.
Ampipe's ball, 2:48 left in the half.
One of Ampipe's backs runs with the ball behind the scrimmage line but is tackled by an opponent. Another play, the Ampipe wide receiver sprints down the pitch. The quarterback unleashes a huge throw. The receiver catches the ball, continues running, and raises the ball above his head as he rushes into the end zone. The Ampipe cheerleaders jump up and down, waving their pom-poms. The Walnut Heights marching band crosses the pitch. Then the scoreboard is shown again.
Walnut Heights leads 10-7 with 3 minutes 47 seconds left in the game.
The Ampipe cheerleaders look on anxiously. Nickerson's pacing up and down. At the start of the next play, Steph runs backwards. The ball is thrown out to him and he catches it. He evades a couple of tackles and runs through into the end zone, raising his arms up. One of his teammates picks him up, and he continues celebrating, punching the air. Nixon squeezes Steph's face delightedly, then gives him a tight hug. He looks up, and the heavens open. Steph puts his helmet back on. The spectators put up their umbrellas. Ampipe kicks off and the players rush forwards across the mud and surface water. But Walnut Heights fumble the ball and the referee blows his whistle and waves his arms. Then a Knights player has the ball and runs through several tackles before being upended in the mud.
Alexander for 17! And a first down on the Ampipe 42!
It's raining very heavily. The footballers are splashing around in huge puddles on the pitch as play continues. The Knights quarterback throws the ball out to a wide man.
Way past Alexander, down to the 29!
The scoreboard's counting down. There's just 2 minutes to go. A Knights player in possession sprints along the edge of the pitch, but he's forced out of play.
Out of bounds on the 10! First and goal for the Knights!
My man!
Steph takes up his position, but there's less than a minute and a half to go. The Knights quarterback hurls the ball to a receiver who's pulled over by Steph into a muddy puddle.
Impact pass interference. The Knights have the ball on the Impact 40-yard line.
Son of a bitch! You got a boy playing for one.
Let it go soon. That's your penalty, son. That should huddle interference. The same play we ran in practice. The same play.
Boy, bastard!
Good hit.
It was a good hit.
It was a good hit, Brian.
Damn right, good hit.
Now, come on, hurry up. Hurry up. Okay, we're holding him. Now keep on goal line, D. Goal line, D. Ready? Ready?
Third and goal for the Knights on the 3.
The two teams line up. The Knight center snaps the ball back into the quarterback, who's engulfed by Ampipe forwards.
Hold on. Come on, run.
The rain is relentless. The clock ticks down to 30 seconds. Nickerson mouths, come on, come on.
Ready! Yeah! Pull on! Pull on! You fucking bastard! Hey!
The Knights quarterback passes the ball to a teammate who runs into a wall of Ampipe linemen.
Alexander is stuck! Short of the goal line!
The Ampipe players are jumping up and down and hugging each other.
Ampipe takes over on their own 1 yard line with 12.
The Ampipe players rush towards their coach, still jumping up and down jubilantly.
We did it, Ronnie! Did we do it? You did it! Rifleman!
Go!
High strong right, 42 condition!
All right!
It's the last play of the game. In slow motion, the Ampipe quarterback receives the ball and passes it to Vinny, who's running in behind him. But Vinny fumbles the ball and it slips into the mud. A pile of players leap onto it, but it's a Knights player who's made the interception.
It's a fumble! It's a fumble! Salvucci fumbles in the end zone and the Knights recover! It's a touchdown! No time left! The Knights win! Touchdown! The Knights win!
The talent scouts start making their way out of the stands. With the Knights players jumping up and down behind him, Vinny clutches the grill of his helmet in despair. Nickerson looks on ashen-faced. Steph staring down at the ground as he and his teammates trudge off. The victorious team continue their rain-soaked celebrations with the scoreboard behind them. Then Jess enters the Ampipe changing room. No one's getting changed. They're all just sitting around the long room in their muddy kits, staring down at the floor in silence and shock. Jess moves to one player and rubs his hair with a towel. Brian kneels beside a teammate who just looks up at him vacantly. Jess pats Brian on the back. At the end of the room, Vinny's sat hunched over on the edge of a bench. He's crying bitter tears. Nickerson enters the room. Someone throws a towel at Vinny.
Oh, come on, Salvucci. Let's hear a good cry, all right? I mean, all I'm hearing is this little whimper. Let's hear a cry. I want to hear a good one, Salvucci. You choked. You cost us a game. You quit. You quit on me and you quit on this team.
He didn't quit.
What did you say?
Steph gets up and approaches Nickerson.
Salvucci, he didn't quit. None of us quit. No, we beat those guys' asses up and down that field tonight. We got nothing to be ashamed of, right? Isn't that right? You know, maybe the scoreboard doesn't say it, but we won that game. We held them. It's just a fluke. That's all. It's just a fluke.
Fluke? Pass interference penalty. That was no fluke. If you'd just done it the way I taught you instead of your way, they never would have been down there in the first place, and they never would have scored, and we would have won that game.
You're just as responsible as he is.
The coach stares at him pointedly, then turns away.
Oh, yeah? Well, if you'd have had Rifleman hold on to the ball, then we would have won the game. We didn't quit. You quit!
Get your stuff. You get the hell out of here right now.
What?
You heard me. You get out of here right now. You're through. You're off the team.
With a lingering, icy stare, the coach leaves the room. Steph's eyes are filling with tears. He looks stunned and resentful. He and Vinny share a strong, emotion-filled handshake. Steph breaks away and refuses any more consolation. Later, the players are changed and emerging from the school building. Wearing his Ampipe football jacket and with his hands stuffed in his pockets, Steph marches somberly towards the school bus. A couple are chatting beside it as Steph passes them. Nickerson's at the doors of the school bus. Steph tries to get on.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Oh, where are you going?
On the bus.
Now, this is the wrong bus, son. This is for players. You ride back with the cheerleaders.
Steph watches his teammates go past him, then moves out of line and approaches a different bus, which Lisa hurries out of.
Look, I just want to be left alone, all right?
Listen, you're good.
Look, just leave me alone!
Lisa watches open-mouthed as Steph strides towards a white pickup truck parked nearby. He raps on the window of the cabin. Then he's sitting in the back of the pickup. He's got a blanket over him, and he's swigging from a can of beer. He exhales wearily. Later, Bosco and his gang are playing pool in a bar.
Why the hell didn't Nickerson just take the safety? And then punt it out of there?
Because he's an asshole. We're never going to beat those rich pricks.
Not as long as he's coached them all.
Well, maybe that won't be for too long.
Steph's father and brother are standing beside the bar.
Oh, goddammit, it's true. He's being kicked off the team for disciplinary reasons. So what the hell does that mean?
It means his big mouth finally got him in real trouble.
But what did he say? I mean, he had to know that this would ruin every chance he's got.
Oh, hell yes. Word gets around, he's got a bad attitude. He'll be lucky if he gets any offers at all.
I can't believe he meant it. I mean, everybody's that mad.
George, a bit. Your kid cost us a game.
Steph's father punches the barfly in the face. He turns to Greg and starts to do up his coat.
Listen, you can stay here if you want, but I'm going to go home and wait for your brother, because whatever it is he said, he's just going to have to apologize for it. Sir, Pop. Sir.
Greg pats his dad on the back.
Oh, damn.
Steph's standing at the roadside trying to hitch a ride. Behind him, a small brick building, Ken's Auto Service Center. Steph flicks his middle finger at one of the passing cars. He discards his drinks can, pulls another one out of his pocket and takes a drink. A grey car pulls up nearby.
Hey, Steph, come on in!
It speeds off down the road. Bosco, behind the wheel, turns and smiles at Steph, who's sitting behind him, swigging beer. On the passenger seat, a bearded guy in big sunglasses offers Steph a hip flask. Steph holds up the flask as if to say cheers, then drinks from it and passes it back. Bosco's car and another behind it slow down to a stop along a quiet road, and both cars' headlights go off. A group of about seven young men run from the cars towards a white wood-fronted bungalow. Steph remains in the car, but Bosco knocks on the window and gestures to him to join them. Steph takes another swig from the hip flask and climbs out of the car. Steph marches up to a rubbish bag next to a bin. He picks it up and empties it all over the front lawn, giving it a kick for good measure. Nickerson and his wife are lying in bed.
Susie?
Mm-hmm.
I should have had Rifleman fall on the ball.
Please, Fern. You're driving yourself crazy.
David, Mom put you on the lawn and woke me up.
Honey, you get in bed with Mommy, okay?
Some of the gang are spraying graffiti on a car. Others are spraying stuff on the bungalow. Bosco's pushing a knife into the tires of a Jeep-style car.
Hey. Bosco. Ah! What the hell are you guys doing?
What the hell do you think we're doing?
Doesn't this seem just a little bit too crazy?
I'm going to do something about it.
Bosco pushes Steph over. The outside lights come on. Bosco's gang rush away from the house. Steph cowers behind the Jeep. Nickerson opens his front door. A dead chicken's been strung up on the veranda. Nickerson watches the group running away. As the rest of them are getting into the cars, Steph sprints across the lawn towards them. Nickerson watches as Stefan's left floundering when the cars speed away without him. Steph runs off down the road. Nickerson's wife joins her husband. The bungalow's been sprayed with things like loser, get out, for sale, and choke. Next day at school, the football team are rushing past Steph towards the training pitch.
Hey, Steph!
Hey.
How you doing, bro? You going to talk to the coach?
Yeah. Wish me luck.
You want me to go with you?
Nah.
You sure? Hey, good luck, bro.
All right.
Vinny heads past him. Nickerson has his back to him, staring out towards the pitch as the players assemble. Steph heads towards him in his ampipe football jacket, with his hands in his pockets.
Coach Nickerson? I would just like to tell you that I'm sorry about what I said after the game. I didn't mean anything by it. And, well, you know, Friday, since it's our last game, it's at home, and I'm a senior. I'd really like to play in it, and it means a lot to me. And
the coach walks away.
I feel really bad about what happened. But I was hoping maybe you'd take me back on the team again. I'm sorry.
So what?
Real forgiving, aren't you?
You were there. You were at the house, and I saw you. The best thing you can do is get the hell out of here.
I can explain about that. See, they picked me up. I just dumped a little garbage on your lawn. I tried to stop them.
No. You dumped garbage on me, my wife, and my little girl. Now leave me alone.
What about the game? I mean, this is the last game. Please.
You played your last game.
Nickerson again walks away. Steph stares at the grass for a moment, looking stunned. He turns to go, then looks back.
You are really fucked, man.
No, son. You are.
Steph just stares back at him in shock. Then Lisa's walking down a steep road in jeans and a black top, carrying her saxophone case. Steph runs down a grassy slope between two houses.
Lisa. How about Lisa? I was at band practice today watching you. You're real good.
Yeah, I saw you there, Steph.
I was thinking maybe I'd join the band so I could spend more time with you. How's that sound?
Well, sounds like Nickerson didn't take you back yesterday.
Yeah, well, screw Nickerson. I don't need him. I got the grades of talent. I'll get my scholarship.
Yeah, you probably will. You'll get your big football scholarship. I'll get nothing.
What are you talking about?
Talking about a bunch of asshole jocks who can't even spell their own names, get scholarships to college, and I can't.
Asshole jocks?
Yeah. Kind of asshole would scream at his girlfriend who he says he loves. In front of a busload of people. I don't need to be treated like that.
Wait, please, hold it. Look, I want to apologize about that. There was a lot of things going on. You just don't understand.
I don't understand. You don't understand. I want to go to college and study music. But we can't afford it. And nobody in Ampipe gets a music scholarship, just football scholarships. So I'll be a grocery clerk.
She gives him a resigned little smile, shakes her head, and shrugs.
I'm stuck here, Steph. I haven't even got a chance. I'm 17 years old. It's not fucking fair. And you're so selfish. I don't even see it.
She tries to go, but he stops her, and she lets out a big sigh.
Been such an asshole, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. I can't spell my own name, though. No, Lisa, I mean, I don't know what. I'm really sorry. What can I do to make make it up to you.
Just be my friend.
I can do that. I need you, Lise.
Well, I need you too sometimes, you know? You gotta be there for me.
I promise you that I won't pressure you, you know, about what happened last week and, you know, sex and all that stuff. It's stupid, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, you will.
How do you know that?
She gives him a little kiss.
You're so gorgeous, I just can't help it. That's why. I love you so much, Lisa. I'm sorry. I just mess up. Now I get to carry this, huh?
Come on.
In Nickerson's office.
I don't need to graduate. I need a job. My uncle's been laid off. My brother's out of work. We're hurt.
You quit school, now you're going to be out there on the streets. How's that going to help your family? You're too good a kid for that. Let me make a couple of calls before you make a decision.
Hey, Nick, how's it going?
Sure. Hey, Sherm, how are you?
Nice to see you.
Yeah, Vinny Salvucci, Sherm Williams.
Boston College. Yeah, how you doing? I've been hearing good things about you.
Oh, yeah.
Everything okay?
That time of year again?
Playing fit. Listen, I understand you,
Hey, Vinny, I know you're no quitter.
What?
Don't quit on me, man.
Right, coach. Hey, nice to meet you.
Listen, I understand you came up with a hell of a defense against, Walnut Heights? Well, anyway, I want to see some film on Riley, Georgievic, and Oliver.
Yeah, Riley and Oliver, they're good players, all right? Georgievic, I've got to take a pass on.
Why, yeah, that kid's real tough.
No, he's got an attitude problem, sure. Listen, I had to cut him from the team.
Oh, that must have been a tough decision for you.
Vinny sits on a bench in the changing room looking troubled.
Yeah, it was tough.
Greg gets out of his car parked by his house.
How about it, Greg?
How about what, Seth?
Greg moves onto the front porch.
I don't know. How are you doing?
You want to use the car tonight?
What?
Yeah, just drop me off at the Carpezo.
Not gonna go to the game, huh?
Nah, I'm gonna go get drunk.
Greg trudges to a little swing seat on the veranda. He slumps down on it and sighs.
I got laid off today. Me and 700 others.
What are you gonna do?
I told you, I'm gonna go get shit-faced. That's what I'm gonna do.
I mean, after that?
I don't know.
I'm real sorry.
Steph's leaning against the edge of the veranda. He rests his cheek against his arm. Greg stares at him dejectedly and nods, then looks away. Later, Steph's sitting at his desk in his bedroom doing a technical drawing. He peers down at it, then rubs out a bit of it. Using a set square, he's about to redraw the bit he'd rubbed out, but he stops and thinks. A smile grows across his face. He gets up and takes his red hooded top off the back of his chair. He pushes back the curtain. Lisa's playing her saxophone, leaning against a lamppost in the street below. Steph smiles down at her. He runs down the pavement along the side of the house and stands in front of her, grinning broadly. She stops playing and giggles. He gives her a kiss.
What are you doing here? Aren't you supposed to be at the game?
I hate football. I just like to watch number 33 run around in those tight black pants.
It's pretty cold out here. You want to go upstairs?
They both run back up the hill. Then they head up some stairs at the side of the house.
What are you doing up here?
This drawing.
Show me.
You want to see? Step into my office.
Steph opens the door and they move into his bedroom. Lisa looks at the drawings above his desk.
Did you do all these?
Yeah. I guess this is what I've been playing football for the past 10 years.
What's that one?
That's my undersea dome. It's just one of the first things I ever did.
It's good. Where's your dad?
He's at work.
She takes off her scarf and switches off the desk light.
And Greg?
Carpezo?
Are we alone?
Yeah, I could call someone.
Why don't you take your coat off and stay a while?
Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
They move into the middle of the room. Steph takes off his hooded top. Lisa takes off her band jacket. They toss them onto an armchair in the corner. She points at a framed photo of the pair of them on a shelf.
Got that right over your bed.
Yeah. Remember that night?
He sniggers nervously and bows his head. She leans on his shoulder so she can take off her shoes. She hesitantly pulls off her braces and lowers her trousers. Steph watches her soberly. She's now standing in front of him in long johns and a long-sleeved vest-like top. He takes her hand. She pushes her hair behind her ears. She tugs gently at his T-shirt and he pulls it up slowly over his head. She removes her top too. He's now bare-chested. She has a lacy camisole top on. Steph undoes the gold chain from around his neck and puts his gold crucifix into his pocket. Lisa moves a little closer to him. Slowly and carefully, Steph pushes the straps of Lisa's camisole off her shoulders and lets it fall. Her breasts press against his chest. He pushes down her knickers. She undoes his jeans and starts to pull them down too. He steps out of his jeans and pants. They embrace each other tenderly, gazing into each other's eyes, then share a long and searching kiss. Steph takes Lisa's hand and holds it tightly to his chest. He moves it downwards. She looks into his eyes and slowly lies down on the bed. Steph lowers himself down gently on top of her on the bed and she turns off the bedside light. They start kissing passionately again. She strokes his hair and they gaze at each other. They begin kissing again. Then Lisa's singing carols in a school choir rehearsal. She looks down at Steph, who's sitting with some of his friends. He's gazing back at her with a doe-eyed smile.
This thing, are you here from Syracuse and any other schools?
No.
Pretty soon it's going to be letter of intent day.
Last school I saw was Walnut Heights. About it, Vin.
Fuck school, man. Fuck school. Fuck Christmas.
Steph continues watching Lisa in the choir. His expression becomes more thoughtful. Then he's sitting by himself in the typing classroom typing a letter. It says, "Dear Coach Wyatt, since I haven't heard from you, I thought I'd write to tell you that I'm still very interested in visiting your fine school." Sometime later, dressed in their Sunday best, Steph and Lisa are walking arm in arm down a path. They pass a car that's got "Just Married" sprayed on the side of it. Brian, also in a suit, is standing with his new bride and an old lady helping them unload catering from the back of another car.
Hello, Miss Mahalovic.
How are you?
Hi. Can I get a kiss?
So where are you guys going on your honeymoon, huh?
Don't ask.
Pittsburgh.
Don't ask.
See the Penguins play the Flyers.
Aren't we lucky?
Can I come too?
I'm surprised you're not.
You don't go with them.
Come on, he's only
on the honeymoon. They go their self. You stay here.
I guess that settles that. Bye, Miss Mahalovic.
Bye.
Brian lingers with Steph.
How you doing?
All right, how are you doing?
Big day. Heard Nickerson got that coaching job.
Yeah, apparently Guy Bellacqua got a better offer. A toast to the bride, the groom, and the baby. May it be a boy, Astroga.
He swigs from a hip flask and passes it to Brian.
Thanks.
Brian has a drink too and passes it back to his friend.
Did you look at this?
I know.
Tracy always wanted a big wedding with a long gown.
Every girl does, I guess.
Sort of like we wanted to play for the Steelers, eh?
Steph ponders this a moment. He clasps his friend's shoulder and gives him a strong hug.
I'll give you a hand with this stuff.
Then a dark car pulls up outside Ampipe High School, an imposing Victorian red brick building. Two men get out, cross the road, and make their way up the steps into the school. Vinny's sitting next to Lisa in a lesson. The two men enter the classroom.
Question today is, should we be spending U.S. tax dollars in Guatemala?
Excuse me, Mr. Duke.
Yes, sir. Yes, I do.
Oh, shit.
Vinny tosses a notebook onto Lisa's desk.
Police officer, you're under arrest.
One of the men grapples with Vinny, pinning his arms behind his back. The young man's bent over the desk as handcuffs are clamped around his wrists.
All right, come on.
He's frog-marched out of the room. He glances round at Lisa and is led out along the corridor past Coach Nickerson.
Stop it! Hold it! Stop! Where are you taking him?
To jail.
Help me.
Well, what for?
Armed robbery.
Help me, Coach. Hey, help me, Coach.
Nickerson watches in disbelief as Vinny's led away.
Come on, what are you, chicken?
Then Lisa and Steph enter a bar.
Come on. Everyone wants you to wait here, okay?
No way, Steph, come on.
She takes his hand and they head towards a pool table which Bosco and his gang are playing at.
Hey, Henry, can I have another iron?
How about Mr. Bosco?
Mr.
Hey,
Bosco?
Steph, Lisa Litsky. What can I do for you?
Mr. Bosco, I have a real problem. Coach Nickerson must be blackballing me because of stuff at his house that night. I was hoping that maybe you could talk to him and tell him what really happened.
What really happened?
Look, it's like no college will even touch me now.
Come on, Bosco. The whole town knows.
Knows what? That I was there. Hey, fellas, was I in Nickerson's house? Did I trash it? Were you there? Were any of you in there?
Please, you gotta help me.
I don't gotta do anything.
Listen, I don't plan on spending the rest of my life here. I mean, now you can't even get a job in that goddamn mill.
The goddamn mill. Is that your problem, Steph? Hey, fellas, Steph's got a problem with the goddamn mill. You mean that mill over there where your father works? Where your brother works?
Where my brother was laid off.
Where my father worked and his father before him and everybody who made this town what it is?
You mean what it was?
Bosco glances at Lisa, then glares at Steph.
You too good for us or something?
No, sir, I just want to go to college.
Steph, what's the matter, Steph? You getting tired of Polack pussy?
Son of a bitch!
Bosco's mates push Steph against the bar and thump him in the stomach.
All right, enough, enough! Enough! I said enough!
Lisa evades Bosco's clutches and rushes to Steph, who's crouching on the floor.
Bosco!
The barman shakes his head at Bosco, who just shrugs back at him. Steph glances at Bosco angrily as he leaves.
Hey, Georgievich! We'll see you around, okay?
Next day, a hatchback car drives past trees down a sloping road and comes to a stop. Dressed in blue trousers, jacket, scarf and gloves and clutching some school files, Lisa gets out of the car and makes her way with a certain trepidation up the path to the front door of Coach Nickerson's house, which has now had the graffiti cleaned off it. Nickerson's blonde wife opens the door wearing a denim shirt.
Yes? Mrs. Nickerson, my name is Lisa Litsky. Can I talk to you for a moment? Please believe me, Mrs. Nickerson, I know Steph, and he'd never deliberately try to hurt anyone. He's a kid, and he wants to go to college and be something. And your husband's stopping him.
Steph's on the phone in his house.
You know, if someone happens to bow out or, you know, a spot opens up, I would appreciate it if you could keep me in mind. Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you for your time.
What would you do, Lisa? Would you go with him? I'm a junior. I have a whole year left.
What about after you graduate?
You know, if he leaves here, you'll probably lose him. I have to let him go. I love him.
I was in love with someone in high school. We were going to get married after graduation, but the Army took him. And I went to North Carolina State and met Vern. What do you want to do, Lisa?
I want to study music.
Then do it.
What happened to that boy from high school?
Tommy? Oh, I guess he's back in Parkersburg. I haven't thought about him in 100 years. God, I loved him.
No more than I love Steph.
Lisa's expression becomes more wistful. Mrs. Nickerson puts her arm around the girl's shoulder, and they stroll along a path overlooking the town. Steph's sitting at a dining table in his living room.
Well, yes, sir, I realize it's a little late, but I've been very busy. I was meaning to call you sooner. Mr. Smith, you said I could count on you.
He presses his clenched fist against his mouth as he listens.
I understand. Okay. Thanks anyway.
He puts the phone down, and staring forwards, he sighs several times. Then he's lying in his bed. His father enters the room carrying a mug and sits on the edge of the bed.
Drink some of this.
Steph lifts his head slightly and drinks from the mug. His dad takes the mug back and puts it on the floor.
You ashamed of me, Papa? What are you talking about? That's crazy. My son, I love you. Why would I be ashamed of you? I don't know. I must have done something really wrong for this to happen to me.
You've done nothing wrong, Stefan. You're a good boy. I love you. We love you. Your mother was always proud of you. I know you're hurt. It's okay. I understand. I love you, and I'm proud of you. Sorry. I'm never prouder of you than right now.
Steph rests his head on his father's lap. His dad rubs his shoulder. Later, a student party is in full swing. Most of the football team are there, proudly wearing their black and cream Ampipe football jackets. Brian gives his new wife a couple of kisses. Behind them, Lisa is perched on a sideboard, smooching with Steph.
You got it, bro.
Students are flicking coins into their beer.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Not much for luck.
Yeah.
Hey, can I have your attention, everybody? I'd like to propose a toast to a friend who couldn't be with us this evening. To Vinny Salvucci. To the Vooch.
The Vooch!
Another coin's flicked into a glass of beer. People are dancing in the crowded room, everyone smiling and enjoying themselves. Steph pulls Lisa towards him and gives her a kiss. A girl in Brian's class kneels down and pats his wife on her tummy.
What's it gonna be, boy or girl?
Girl.
A boy.
The students continue dancing. One of the guys in an Ampipe jacket is holding a football in the air. Brian, Steph and Lisa are gathered around a beer keg. Shadow, one of the taller members of the team, is on the phone.
I'm going to West Virginia! I'm going to West Virginia!
Good for him, you know. He always wanted to go to West Virginia. Hey, Shadow, here's to West Virginia.
There's to it.
Nice to see you, right, Brian?
Steph, man. I'm going to have a kid. It's more important than any damn college. I got what I want. I really got what I want.
Steph pats Brian on the arm, then turns and kisses Lisa while Brian watches him with concern. Brian's wife is sitting at a table in another room.
How you doing, Trace? The 18th person that's touching his stomach tonight.
One of the team's speaking to Steph, who's slow dancing with Lisa.
Good job. What job?
Greg caught on with his demolition company and pulled a few strings for me and got a job over the next 3 weekends.
Are you doing what?
You know that old blast furnace down in Franklin 7? Turn that old piece of shit apart.
My father worked there 14, 15 years.
And on the fifth day, thank you, God, on the fifth day, he created cheerleaders.
Amen.
And commanded that they wear short skirts and do cartwheels, and that was very good.
Great, okay.
I mean, that was pretty good. And on the sixth day, he created the football player. And fans paid money to watch them hurt. And that was good. And on the seventh day...
Steph takes a swig of beer.
They all played football. 6-2 stack monster! 6-2 stack monster! Ready!
The footballers leap off the sofa onto the floor and crush a little table. Sometime later, Steph's sitting at the counter of an almost empty diner. Coffee is poured into a little black cup, and Steph pulls the saucer towards him and takes a drink. He puts down the cup and stirs the coffee with a straw. Coach Nickerson and his wife are sitting at a table nearby.
Over the end of the
counter. I know.
Nickerson watches as Steph gets up from his stool, pulls on his jacket and hooded top, and stops. The young man thinks to himself, and with an expression of resolve, he approaches the table which the coach and his wife are sitting at.
Miss Nickerson, excuse me. I just want to tell you, I know it's a little late. Kind of have to say this for my own sake. I was there the night your house got messed up. And I'm sorry it happened.
Nickerson just stares at the young man without emotion. Steph makes his way out of the restaurant. Then outside...
Georgievich, I'd like to talk to you!
We got nothing to talk about.
Steph keeps walking.
So where are you going?
Where am I going?
Yeah.
No place, man. I mean, Shadow, he's going to West Virginia, you just found out tonight. And Tank's going to Furman, you knew that already, and you're going to Cal Poly. Mouse is going to college, he's gonna play ball. I mean, I'm just going to hang out here.
He starts to walk off again, then stops.
Hey, Nickerson. You lied about me. You blackballed me. Together. Remember that? Together. That was all just bullshit.
What?
You're full of shit, man. You just sit there in your office. Scholarship here, no scholarship there. He goes, he stays. Who in the hell gave you that power? You're just a coach. You're just a high school football coach. I mean...
He moves more quickly down the side street. He glances back at Nickerson, then breaks into a run before turning round again. He runs off down the street. Then he's working inside the steelworks. He's wearing a hard hat, protective glasses, gloves and jacket, and he's shoveling something into a wheelbarrow. His brother's working alongside him. Greg pauses for a moment. He watches his brother with a surly expression, then resumes his shoveling. Steph's taken off his hard hat and looks round at his brother, who holds up his fist in a gesture of solidarity. Steph puts his helmet back on. He sighs and gets back to work. sparks rain down from the top of the furnace above them. Later, Greg and Steph have hitched a ride on the back of a lorry carrying an excavator. The truck heads slowly past the rusty girders of the steelworks. Greg flicks Steph's legs with his gloves and the two men get off the back of the truck. They stand for a moment in the middle of a stream of workers leaving the plant. Then they join the throng with their father and the group trudge up a long staircase. Lisa's standing waiting at the top of the staircase, smiling at her boyfriend.
Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Greg.
Hey, Lisa.
Steph gives her a kiss. He puts his arm round her and they follow the other workers towards the exit.
So good to see you.
You've been working hard.
What have you been up to, huh?
Nickerson's waiting by a car up ahead.
Lisa, what's he doing here?
He's been looking for you all day. I brought him here. Listen, why don't you just talk to him?
Steph frowns at her, then holds out his hand. She takes it, and they make their way towards Nickerson.
Yeah. Just talk to him, huh?
Hello.
Hi, Greg.
George, how are you doing?
Okay.
Georgievich. See, I've come here to apologize to you. I wanted to tell you that I'm sorry about what I did. You know, I was wrong. Sorry. I'd also like you to come play football for me at Cal Poly on this full scholarship.
You want to run that by me again?
Yeah, I want you to play football for me, son.
Now you're just doing this to make yourself feel better.
Yeah, I am.
You're damn right. You know something? I feel a hell of a lot better right now.
Scholarship, huh?
Yeah. At one of the finest engineering schools in the country, so sign it.
Come on, Steph, just sign it. I love you. I want you to. Just sign it.
What about you, Lise?
Huh?
Sign it.
Pop? Yeah? Hey, Kurowski! You tell Bosco I'll be seeing him around.
With a big grin, Steph takes the document from Nickerson. Steph's father produces a pen from his jacket.
Thanks.
Steph signs the paper, shaking his head in disbelief. Greg and his father look on proudly. Lisa's smiling broadly. She looks at Nickerson, who's staring at Steph with a determined expression. The young man has tears in his eyes.
Thanks. Coach.
Oh, thank you, Steph. The next time, go for the ball, will you? Okay? Huh?
Yes, sir.
Thanks.
Yes, sir. Oh, babe.
All right.
Steph hugs Lisa tightly. Greg and his father join in the hug, too. Then Steph picks Lisa up and spins her round. The young couple face each other, and Steph throws up his arms in victory. They hug each other again. The end.